Welcome everyone to this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel. Today is Tuesday the 26th of August. My name is John Brunton and I've been appointed chair for today's meeting. This is a formal meeting and on behalf of the council, I acknowledge the traditional people of this place, the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation. For countless generations, they were part of the country on which we meet today. I also acknowledge those from other nations who are now part of this place. We acknowledge and pay our respect to elders, past, present, and emerging, and those who work for truth, justice, and reconciliation. I intend to begin the meeting by asking members of the panel to introduce themselves. As I said earlier, my name is John Brunton and I'm a registered planner and a fellow of the Planning Institute of Australia. The Minister for Planning has appointed me as one of the chairs of this panel. The other panel members will introduce themselves, beginning with our community representative, Leah Richards.
Thank you, Chairperson. Hello, everyone. My name is Leah Richards and I'm a community representative of the Inner West Planning Panel. I've lived in the Inner West area for 40 years and my tertiary qualifications are in modern languages, occupational health and safety, and urban ecology. I'm a person with disabilities. I'm hearing impaired and I have physical disabilities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Leah. Stephen.
My name's Stephen Lehman. I'm a registered architect and town planner with many decades of experience, postgraduate. I have a bachelor's degree in architecture and master of town and country planning degree. I've worked many years in local government and private consultancy, the last 25 years or so as a principal of a private consultancy. I also sit on other panels. Principally, I'm the chairman of Winch Carraby Local Planning Panel and co-chair of Randwick. Previously, I've been co-chair of the City of Sydney and Hornsby and expert on other panels, which are a number of other panels.
Thanks, Steve. Thomas.
Hi, my name is Tom Mithen. I'm a registered planner. I've been working for approximately 20 years in the consultant space, servicing clients across in the private sector and government agencies in both the metro and regional areas of New South Wales. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. The first matter on the agenda for today is the conflicts of interest, and there's declarations have been submitted by panel members. We only have one item on the agenda, and each panel member has signed a declaration stating that they are not aware of conflicts in relation to that matter. Panel members have made themselves familiar with all of the material relevant to this planning proposal. This includes viewing the subject site, reading the council officer's report, and the checklist, and all of the material that the applicant has submitted. Earlier today, we also had the benefit of a briefing with the council officers. Now, before I invite the proponent to make the presentation, I need to discuss some housekeeping matters. This is a public meeting, and as you would be aware, it's being recorded. To avoid distractions, it's important that you keep your microphone on mute. When I ask you to make your presentation, please unmute yourself. You do not need to be on mute while panel members are asking you questions, but once you finish speaking, please set your microphone to mute again. I've got two registered speakers, Sarah Horsfield and Nick Wheeler. Now, it's open to you to decide how you'd like to use your time. Council has initially provided 10 minutes for you to make your presentation. And from our earlier discussions, I'm aware that panel members will wish to ask questions and ask for clarifications on a number of matters. After the panel has heard from your presentation and any of those further explanations, we will go into a closed session where we will consider all of the information that's been submitted. The panel will then compose a report which will be forwarded to Council. Council will consider that when it decides how it will proceed with the matter. However, the decision of the panel is only advisory. The panel's decision on this proposal will be published on Council's website by the end of this week. But moving now on to that item, the planning proposal number is PPAP/2025/001 for 20 Smidmore Street, Marrickville. The proposal seeks to have amendments made to provisions of the Inner West Local Environmental Plan, which currently apply to the Marrickville Metro Shopping Centre. Now, I'm not sure who will be speaking first, but I'll ask Sarah if she'd like to introduce the proposal. Please take yourself off mute and make your presentation. In particular, be aware that the panel wishes to hear your response to the contents of the council officer's report. So, Nick or Sarah, who'd like to speak first?
Hi, John. It's Nick here. I'm happy to speak. I've got Sarah next to me, okay. but I'm happy to do the speaking here.
And then I can help answer any questions if need be, John.
Okay. Yes.
We're right. Glad to be in the meeting.
Yes, we're glad we're in the meeting, and we're glad we're all here. So we've got a quorum. So look. Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel. As mentioned, I'm Nick Wheeler, an associate director here at Urbis and representing GPT, who manage the Marrickville Metro Shopping Centre and who are the proponent for this planning proposal. Now, I've been working with the operators of Marrickville Metro since 2016 and prepared the modification application to the Part 3A major project approval back in 2017, which facilitated the updated design and eventual construction of this expanded southern part of the shopping centre, which opened in 2021 and is subject to this planning proposal. We also worked on the previous planning proposal at the site in 2018, which initially identified the intention of the operators of the centre to rezone this part of the shopping centre to local centre zoning to align with the original section of the centre located on the opposite side of Smidmore Street to the north. At that point in time, we were advised that because the shopping centre hadn't been constructed, we were advised to progress additional permitted uses for the centre at that point in time. Now, we're revisiting this back now here in 2024-2025, because as I mentioned, the industrial zoning of the centre is now redundant, and we view this as an administrative change to the zoning of the site, such that the two parts of the Marrickville Metro Shopping Centre can have alignment of the zoning. We also, in working with GPT, and Nathan is on the call, we recognise that in doing this, it will protect the proponent from any unintended consequences of further statewide reforms. We've had employment zone reforms, or in changes to industrial zoning, which would potentially compromise the operation of the shopping centre at the site, and also provide greater clarity for future leasing of the space within the centre by removing the ambiguity of having two separate zonings across the site. It might be easy for planners to understand two separate zonings, but when you've got leasing specialists and incoming tenants, it would make it a lot easier were both sides of the centre to be the same zoning. So as part of the planning proposal and in working with officers at council, we were looking to introduce a new height limit at the site, because there's currently not a control within the Inner West LEP. We proposed a 26-metre control, which is just about 10% above the existing highest part of the building, which is the approved solar panels of that site. Now, we're just looking to add a bit of flexibility into the height control, rather than wrapping the current centre. And if the solar panels were needing to be increased in height, having to do a clause 4.6, we're looking to build in a bit of flexibility with that. We also spoken to council about introducing a new FSR control at the site, which matches, well, the part 3A obviously gave the consent for the centre, but didn't update the FSR control of the site at the time. So again, we were looking to have an FSR control at this part of the site, which again allows a little bit of additional flexibility for evolution of the shopping centre, for elements that don't count as GFA to be converted to GFA in the future, or changes to car parking. And I know from personally working with GPT, we've done elements on the northern side of the centre where we've added in small elements such as a dent spot, which creates a small amount of GFA working on panels of vehicles over there. We want to avoid the need to have to do a clause 4.6 every time we want to come back in for a minor change to the GFA. So again, looking for a little bit of flexibility in those two controls. And when we originally lodged the application, and again, through scoping with council, we spoke about having a minimum non-residential FSR control. And speaking with officers, that's now been amended to a no net loss of non-residential floor space control. Now, to be clear, GPT has made significant investment in the shopping centre and intends to continue its role in maintaining the asset as an important centre for the Inner West community. So maximising the operation of retail and other non-residential floor space at the centre is a priority. So we're happy to accept that recommendation from council. It's also noted in the Office of Reports that the proposal both has strategic and site-specific merit, as well as aligning with the employment and retail land strategy published by council. The centre ultimately will continue to be used as a shopping centre and for employment purposes and for non-residential uses. So, in summary, we're looking to rezone the site to reflect the current operational use of the site and enable a full range of retail, commercial and community uses to be provided within the centre, whilst also allowing future development applications to come forward to meet consumer and business trends at the site. So allowing that flexibility in the controls we're applying to the site. So on that basis, we're respectfully requesting the panel supports this proposal, such that council can proceed with this, and the matter can be forwarded ultimately to the Department of Planning for their gateway determination. And so thank you for your time.
Thank you. The panel members will have a couple of questions for you, I think, but
okay.
Can you clarify, one thing I'm not aware of, what is the floor space ratio for the northern part of the site, the part that's not being rezoned?
That part of the site, I think that sits currently at 0.75 to 1, but again, that also has the benefit of the Part 3A approval.
So the approved use for the existing part of the centre exceeds the FSR control, I can't remember by how much, but significantly. So that Part 3A approval hasn't been enacted on either. So there's further expansion permitted on the original part of the centre that has never been basically enacted on, and potentially never will be, because it may not be, you know, we got the Part 3A approved in
2012.
Like it's a really old consent that it may not work anymore in terms of feasibility from the centre, not from a planning perspective.
But has that consent lapsed?
No. So the consent has been physically commenced by a number of things. One, the building of the new part of the centre. So it does have a longer life, but it's just that there were parts of the application that will probably never be built, but there still is an approval there. But it does allow them to do things in terms of even just continual evolution of improving the centre. As you can imagine, shopping centres consistently need to change and grow.
Yeah, but it sounds like just from the boring planning controls environment framework, there might need to be a bit of tidying up on that side as well. Okay.
Well, not really. I mean, at the end of the day, the real purpose for this, the absolute purpose of this is to make sure that it's got the right land use zone, so that for the leasing agents who get very confused every time they get a new tenant approaching the centre, or what's allowed on the original part of the centre and what's allowed on the new part of the centre. And it means that they don't need to pay money and come to Urbis for a town planner to say, you can have Audi on this part of the centre. Like, it's very easy for all of us on this call to understand it, but it's confusing for leasing agents to just know when you've got part of the site rezoned as industrial. Council have asked us to put planning controls around it, because under the current industrial zoning, you don't have the same sort of built form controls that you do as an E1 zone. So we've responded to that, and we've just asked for a little bit of flexibility beyond what's built on the site. So we're not glad wrapping the building, that it just means that it can, you know, do a little bit of evolution sometime into the future without needing a clause 4.6, even if you converted a car space, for instance, into a car wash facility or something like that. That's what we've done. But we've responded to council's request to also put built form controls around it, because the industrial land use doesn't have the same built form controls that E1 zones do in a West LGA.
Stephen, do you have a question?
I was curious about the numbers. I agree that the provision of certainty is a good thing, and the role of this site as a commercial and services centre is sensible and appropriate. But the question is, what's the appropriate number? They seem to be somewhat arbitrary. I don't know how much calculation has gone into determining those. Can you speak to that? I mean you might fill in voids. I don't know what the area of the voids are. You might, I suppose, convert some areas to parking areas to car wash, but how else would you see it happening?
Yeah, so we did actually get the original architects as well, Haim Charlie, who have worked on the major modification that Nick and I worked on many years ago. So they've worked on this centre, essentially the whole redesign of the new centre that we're asking to be rezoned at the moment. And they've just tested a couple of scenarios. If you filled in some voids, if you converted some car parking spaces, and if at the roof level you just enclosed a small section that's still below the proposed height control, that's essentially the number that we've got to of 1.84. There aren't any immediate plans, but it just means we spoke to council at length about this, and council as well doesn't want to have to be dealing with clause 4.6 variations for minor changes to the shopping centre, or to also to acknowledge that centres actually do evolve, and currently it's essentially unrestricted in terms of, you know, what you can do on that site. So it's just putting some parameters around it from a built form expansion point of view, but just a little bit of flexibility that in the future, if there was the demand for certain tenants that maybe spatially even require different things, they could do something within it, but it would still be not exceeding any sort of the overall heights that have been set for the centre.
So how would you reconcile increased GFA and reduced car parking?
Well, we're not saying that they're doing that. It's just, and you've got to think at the end of the day, if you do any application that will result in increased GFA actually needs a development application. So you can't do that by CDC. So council would then be able to assess that on its merits. So we've talked about that with council. It's not like you can just do that through a CDC pathway. We're not saying there are plans to change it. It's just building a bit of flexibility into a centre. And Nick and I work across centres across all of Sydney. We do so much shopping centre work. We do know that they continually evolve. You know, even if you were to put in the future a car wash and you put the little office where the car wash is, that's suddenly additional GFA. We're not saying that's what they're going to do, but we just want a bit of flexibility for that centre to be successful, because at the end of the day, and Inner West Council's own strategic planning documents recognise this, this is an important centre for Inner West, and we want it to continue in the future to be commercially successful. That is in everyone's interest. So when able to do that, they need to be able to respond to tenant demand and changing needs of retail as it always evolves. You know,
agreed.
A pop-up even on the roof as a temporary use would be temporary GFA that you would have to do a clause 4.6 for. So it's just allowing for future things. An urban garden that maybe has an office with it on the roof would be extra GFA, you know. So it's just allowing some flexibility into it, which still can fit within the overall kind of built form parameters for the site. Yeah,
alternatively, it could just be extra floor space.
Well, that's why we're doing it, so that there is some extra floor space into the future. It is retail a shopping. It is a shopping centre. I understand what you're saying.
But again, it is sort of a
arbitrary figure in a sense. It's a rough figure.
It's been tested by the architects, to be honest, and we have provided some schemes to the Inner West Council officers to show them how it could be. But we were all in agreement that that would probably then confuse the panel, because it's not like there is a scheme. GPT at the moment are just doing their best to make the centre as successful as possible. There's not plans to expand. So it was an idea from the architects responding to kind of potential opportunities in the future, but we didn't want it to confuse the panel. All this is, at the end of the day, there's no current height control. We've got a Part 3A approval with no height control. So we could, and an FSR that well exceeds the current FSR control and has exceeded that FSR control since we got the original Part 3A approved for AMP Capital more than 15 years ago. I worked on it then. It was before I had children. And it's been a long time. So, you know, at the end of the day, they finally built the centre and we have this operating centre, and it's just about making sure that we don't put some now cling wrapped planning controls around it that allow for no flexibility in the future. No one wants that. We're not asking
flexibility. Okay. All right. Thank you. It's enough from me.
I think the expert members on the panel have all been on the other side of dealing with shopping centres, so we know how these things work. And even as shoppers, your centres are constantly being upgraded, so we understand.
I was involved with the very original Metro. The original built around the mill house, yes. I was with the firm at the time. Anyway, let's not go into that.
The other issue that's been raised is height. Now, you want to get have the height limit set slightly higher than a number that we've been given as the current height. Is that a figure of 23.56?
Yes.
Is that the height of the concrete slab of the roof, or is that the height of the solar panels?
That's the height of the solar panels.
Okay.
So in terms of the height, there's a plant room on top as well of the roof?
There is a plant room there. So we looked at the solar panel DA application 2019-255, and we took the height of that, which is RL2766. We also took the structural slab level of the base of the shopping centre, which was RL4.1. That's where we got 23.56 from. And simply in our discussions with council, we spoke about having 10% extra as a bit of a leeway in case you wanted to go a little bit higher. Again, much like what Sarah was saying, no need to shrink wrap what we got up currently. So ultimately, it's really straightforward maths, the 23.6 went up to 26.
Yeah, I think you sort of, I was going to ask a question about the type of structures that you intended that could go on the rooftop in the future. You mentioned what, urban garden, car wash. Is that the reason for, I guess, increased height?
Just giving a little bit of flexibility, yeah. One for temporary uses, so you could have something like, that is
cinema screen on the rooftop.
Something, for instance, which is something that we were going to do when Dexus were the owners. It just gives a bit of flexibility for both permanent change or temporary change. And you've got to remember, currently, they don't have a height control. There is no height control for this site. They have approval. They could continue. They could lodge an application tomorrow. And all of these uses are still permissible. The purpose of this rezoning is really going back to just to avoid the confusion for people about this. We're responding to council, putting additional parameters around this centre that don't currently exist. There is not a height control. So it's just putting a bit of flexibility for the future, if you wanted to do something that we don't need to constantly, even if it's a temporary use, put a clause 4.6 in. So there is no immediate plan.
There's no immediate plans.
It just seems crazy to then impose a height control when there isn't one there at the moment, and we can lodge a DA at any stage without a height control, to then cling wrap it around the current structure, because you've got to think there could be some future change in the future. And you've got to remember, this is the isolated part of the site that's well away from residential area. It's screened by the existing centre and the industrial adjoining land. And then obviously to the rear is towards the train tracks. It's not like it has an immediate residential neighbour, this part of the centre. So we see... It's really about a little bit of flexibility, and 10% seemed like a reasonable number to ask for.
Right. And that 10% is the 2.5 metres above the existing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just if you put a screen, like we were at one stage looking to do a temporary event to kind of activate the centre where they were going to put a screen up for a cinema. We never went through with that, but it just would mean for things like that, you would need like to do a clause 4.6, and it just, council agrees, just a little bit of flexibility around the future of this centre so that it's not difficult to do development applications. They will still need to be assessed by council on their merits based on all of the normal requirements, but it just means that we won't having to be arguing with a clause 4.6 for any minor exceedance on the height control. We would love no height control. There isn't one there at the moment. So we're very open to that option as well.
Yeah, I think that was requested by council, wasn't it, originally, to incorporate a height control?
Yes. Yeah, council had asked us to do that.
The council,
yeah.
Same with the FSR.
Look, ultimately, if we could run this and just change the zoning, that would be the most straightforward. But obviously, there are controls that we've agreed with council can be introduced alongside the rezoning, just to make sure there's enough protection with the council.
Could I suggest to you that on a nearby site, this panel recommended to the council that they don't have a height limit because the aircraft are the height limit, the ultimate height limit on sites around here. So we're just trying to ensure that we advise the council on the most appropriate number from all the information that we've got.
Sarah? We don't need a height control if the panel doesn't see it. We were just trying to work with council and also allow for our client a reasonable amount of flexibility for the future. But we would love no height control. There isn't one. There hasn't been one for the 17 years I've worked on this site.
What you can do is fundamentally controlled by your GFA and your car park.
Exactly. We agree with you.
That limits how high you're going to go.
Yeah, we agree with you. But there
needs to be some measure of consistency with the controls in other zones, equivalent zones, yeah. I think.
Leah, did you have any questions? We can't hear you.
You're on mute.
Thank you. Just for comparison, what is the height of building of the older portion of the shopping centre?
It's actually tall, but I can't remember its actual height because the you know where the vehicular repairs station is?
It's got another level
above. It's got another level above, but I honestly can't remember. But it's you know where the vehicle repair station is at the top of...
You've got the my car, and then you've got another level of car parking above, and then you've got the lift overrun above that. I think I've definitely been up that top level before and got the lift and looked across, and I guess it's kind of similar. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, unfortunately.
All right. Thank you. That was all, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you, Leah.
Apologies that we can't remember that.
Thomas or Stephen, do you have any other questions?
No further questions from me, John.
Stephen?
No, I don't think so. I think there's the potential for a residential component, but it doesn't seem as it's going to be difficult to do, isn't it? With the constraints that you've got and the car parking and everything else and the GFA that you already have, and it's not going to happen, I don't think.
It's not the intention of the proponent to develop residential at this site. They've spent a lot of money over the course of time developing this new part of the centre, looking to lease it, looking to get the best tenants in there they could. I'm working on other shopping centres where we just can't go through multiple levels of retail to build enough structure to then build above, and the impact it has. Imagine drilling through coal.
Well, to separate those uses properly, it would take out a lot of valuable floor space on the lower levels, wouldn't it?
Exactly. So that's not really on the agenda. And we've said to council all along, I know the zoning might allow shop-top housing, but this is just not the location for that to occur.
Well, you'd have some views, wouldn't you? Some outlook.
Not after spending that. This is at the end of the day, and
it's a shopping centre.
It's a shopping centre, and this to be a successful shopping centre. Hence, for a bit of flexibility, everyone wants this to be a successful centre.
Sure. Yeah, it's all from me.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. For your presentation and for answering our questions. The panel will now retire and we'll compose our report to the council. As I said earlier, it'll be on the website later in the week.
Okay.
So thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you all.
Appreciate it.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye.